cite our scripture, our favorite, one of our favorite ones. I won't say it's the favorite because there might be others that you have. 2 Corinthians 2:14, let's say it. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. And praise God, that fragrance is being spread throughout the earth today. And there's some people that don't like the smell, but it's getting stronger. It's just permeating the whole nation. Praise God. So are you ready for the word today? Okay, you're all attentive. That's good. Let's go to John chapter 1. We're going to talk about the word of God today. The importance of the word, being a, quote, word of faith church. I mean, we have lots of different names. We're independent, interdenominational, non-denominational, charismatic, Pentecostal, word of faith. I mean, you know, we just kind of, whatever you want to call us, evangelical maybe. I mean, you know, we don't really have a label over our door, but generally, we see ourselves as word of faith because as pastors, we grew up under the word of faith. The word of faith, the word of God is what changed our lives. We were in church all of our lives, but until we heard the word of faith, worshiping God, believing in God really just didn't carry that much weight. We knew it was right. We knew it was right to serve God. But when we found out that the Word of God was not just an interesting book of how things went 3,000 years ago for people, things like that, or just telling us biblical accounts of things Jesus did, when we found out that the Word of God was alive, that it was good for today, that you could believe it, that you could act on it and apply it, and it would manifest in your life. It changed our life. And there's times when we have had moments where things just weren't going quite like we would like them to go, and things just seemed a little dry, and we always would come back to the Word. Not that we had left it, but sometimes we get a little lax in it. And the Word of God is our foundation. We need the Word of God. So that's what we're going to take a look at today. I want to just stress the importance of the Word. You can get the Word on Sundays because Gordon uses lots of scriptures and I use lots of scriptures, so you get to see them on Sunday, but it needs to be more than just Sunday. You need the Word of God all the time. You need to know the Word of God. So we're going to look at some things here. In John chapter 1, we're going to look at the first four verses and then verse 14. Very familiar. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." In verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And we know that Jesus is that Word. And when we read these scriptures, we think about, well, this is talking about Jesus, and it is. Jesus was with God at the beginning. Everything was made through Jesus. He was light, he was life, and he came and manifested in the flesh as Jesus, the man. It was God, it was the Word, but he came and manifested in the flesh as Jesus, the man. As we take a look at the Word as such, just the Word itself, I want to just share a few comments from Thayer's commentary. It tells us that this word, it's logos in the Greek, which you've heard that many times, that that's what this word is, logos. Jesus is the logos. It's the word uttered by a living voice. It embodies a conception or an idea, the sayings of God, the decree, the mandate or order, moral precepts, thought, doctrine, teaching, thinking, reasoning. It's all those things. Jesus, the Word of God, is the complete expression of God in word and deed. The complete expression of God in word and deed. He is the manifest, Jesus is the manifestation of the spoken word. God spoke Jesus into existence in Genesis when he said that the seed of the woman would come against the devil. That was the declaration of the word of God. And from that point forward, until Jesus was manifested in the earth, that word held fast. That Jesus is the manifestation of the Word of God. But we all know, or I'm sure you all here assume and know, that we need Jesus. We need Jesus to save us. He is our Lord and Savior. He's delivered us from sin. We need Him. Well, if we need Jesus, and Jesus was the Word at the beginning, then we need the Word. We don't just need Jesus, we need the Word. They're one and the same. It's not different things. You know, some people say, well, you just need Jesus. Some people say, well, you need the Word of God. They're the same thing. It's not different ones. It's not different people. Well, you need God or you need the Spirit. It's all one thing. But we don't want to separate them out and not focus on all of who God is, of who Jesus is. And Jesus is the Word. He, Jesus, and the Word are one with God. In Hebrews 11:3, if you want to turn there, it's just one verse, but it tells us that by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Everything that was made, everything was made by the Word of God. By the Word of God. The breathed Word. This particular word is the Rhema word. It's when it is a breathed, revealed word. It comes into manifestation. It's revealed to us. But we understand that everything that was made, God made through His Word. Through Jesus, but through the Word of God. You can see this in Genesis. We're not going to look there, Genesis chapter 1, but you can read the account of creation. God said, let there be light, and light was. God said, let the waters separate, and the waters separated. God said, let there be sun and moon and stars, and they appeared. They manifested. It's the Word of God. Everything He spoke was released and created what we see and bring things into existence. So we need the Word of God. The Word of God is essential in our life. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. All the things that were created, you know, all the heavens and the earth and everything that is manifested, the manifested Word of God. Jesus, the manifested Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23 says that having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. If you are born again, you were born by the Word of God. The Word of God manifested in your spirit and brought life into you. You were a dead spirit without God, but the Word of God came into you and birthed you over again. Birthed you brand new. Praise God. How wonderful that we're born again through the Word of God, an undecaying Word, an immortal seed of God. Now, turn to John chapter 6. I'm going to read a few verses before we get to the verse I want you to look. We're going to look at verse 63, but before we get there, I'm going to read some others that won't be up on the wall for you. In John chapter 6, these are some words of Jesus. Jesus said to them, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Now, last week we looked at the communion and the fellowship that we have in the bread and cup. Jesus, when he was offering the bread and the cup to the disciples, he was saying, this is my body. It's a representation of my body. He wasn't saying, this is me. Some Christians, some denominations believe that when you take communion, it actually turns into the flesh and the blood of Jesus. I don't think too many believe that anymore, but certain denominations do. And when Jesus was talking about this, the people that heard it, they thought the same thing. They thought, this guy's telling us we got to be cannibals. We've got to eat his body and drink his blood. And it wasn't saying that at all. So when we take communion, we know that this is just a symbol of Jesus' flesh and blood. So we looked at that last week. But it's the natural symbols of the true bread and drink, which is the Word of God, Jesus. Now, let's look at verse 63. Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. If you would just, this is, you know, unpleasant because we think of cannibalism. If you would just eat Jesus' flesh and drink his blood, it wouldn't profit you at all. It wouldn't help you at all. But Jesus says, but the words that I speak, this is what you've got to eat. You've got to eat the word. The words that I speak are spirit and they are life. We are to live, they are spirit and life, and we are to live by these words. Just as we are to abide in the fellowship of the cross, like we talked about last week, we are to abide in the Word of God. In John chapter 8, we have a lot of John scriptures today. John talked a lot about all these kinds of things. John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus said again, this is the Word of God made flesh. This is Jesus speaking out of himself, speaking out the Word. He says, if you abide in my Word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's in verse 32. But if you abide in my Word, if you live in this Word, if you meditate, study, feed on, live in this word, then you are a disciple. Disciple means a learner under discipline. Well, the discipline is that you're learning this word. You're learning what has been said about Jesus, about God, about life, about sin, about holiness, righteousness. You're learning these things. If you abide in the Word, then you're a disciple. A lot of times we just think, well, boy, if you're born again, you're a disciple. Not true. You can be born again and on your way to heaven and never have been a disciple. Because a disciple is someone that follows after Jesus, is a learner under the discipline of the Word of God, and is conforming their life to that. Then, if you abide in the Word and become a disciple by doing what you find in the Word and learning, if you become a disciple, then in verse 32, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know, we were talking about some things in Sunday school today, that you can be born again and you can still have bondage left over from the old man. You can still live in things that God doesn't want you to live in. You can still be under the oppression of things that Jesus died to set us free from. But if you'll abide in the Word, if you will feed on this Word, this is communion. We have the elements like we had last week. It's just a ceremonial type of thing. But this is the Word that we can feed on. This is the life that we can feed on. And if we do that and become a disciple, we will know the truth. And then that truth will make us free. It's a process. It's a process. It's just something that has to grow and develop. It's part of our just growing up and maturing in the things of God. But it's abiding in the Word. But sometimes, you know, some people just, they don't like to read the Word. They, you know, Sunday morning is good enough. That's enough Word. That's about all I can stand. You know, some people sometimes, that's the only Word they get. That's the only time they hear the Word. I mean, there's lots of ways you can feed on the Word, you know, at home, radio, TV, CDs, tapes, maybe, you know, over your phone. That's a big way nowadays. But a lot of times people will say, but Jesus talks to me. I know Jesus. I am born again, and Jesus talks to me. I can just follow what he says to me. I don't really need to read the Bible because Jesus talks to me. And praise God, if Jesus is talking to you, well, do what he says. Just keep that fellowship up. That is great. That is good. But it's not sufficient. And I have got some information for you that's going to bless you if you happen to be someone like that, that you think, well, I hear from God. I'm okay. I hear from God. Or maybe you know someone that's like that. That they don't feed on the Word, but that, you know, well, God talks to me. There's some people God talks to that I'm not so sure that it's God. Let's turn to John chapter 14. Jesus said a few things about this, that not needing to feed on the Word doesn't line up with what Jesus says. John 14, 26. He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. See, there's the Holy Spirit. Boy, he's going to teach me. I just need the Holy Spirit. I got the Holy Spirit, so he's going to teach me. I don't need the Word. And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Well, if you haven't fed on what Jesus has said, I don't know that Jesus has actually said every word of this book to you yet. He's probably said lots of things, but I'd be real surprised if he has said everything yet. You think? I don't know. But if there's things in here that Jesus has said that he has not spoken to you personally, then how can the Holy Spirit bring it to your remembrance if you've never heard it said? See, he's going to bring to remembrance what's been said to you. He can't bring to remembrance something you've never heard. It's only what you've heard that you can be brought to remembrance. But then Jesus even had another thing that he said that is even better. When I found this one, it was just like, oh, this is cool. God is just sharp. He is so good. John chapter 5, verses 46 and 47. And Jesus was talking probably to Pharisees, but to people that, you know, they were more interested in what other people thought of them than what God thought about them. And Jesus said in verse 46, he says, for if you believed Moses, you would believe me. For he wrote about me. See, even Moses wrote about Jesus. Jesus isn't just in the New Testament. Jesus is in the Old Testament too. He just wasn't called Jesus then. But he's in the Old Testament. Jesus said, if you believed Moses, because that's what some of these people were claiming, they didn't like Jesus' new way, they didn't like his new doctrine that he was bringing to them and his message, they wanted to follow Moses. They had Moses and the Ten Commandments. That was good enough for them. But he says, if you believed Moses, you would believe me because he wrote about me. But look at verse 47. This is a clincher. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? See, in Jesus' day, Moses wasn't there to talk to the people anymore. What they were learning from Moses was what had been written down, already written down. And I believe that we can apply this scripture to us. Everything that's already been written down, that's the word of God, the things that Jesus said, he says, if you don't believe what's already written, how are you going to believe my words? Now think about that. Now don't take that too far and say that, you know, you can't trust what Jesus says to you if he says something to you and you just have to ignore it because you haven't believed everything. But think about that. We need to believe what's already been written down. Why would God give us something beyond, which he's not going to give us things outside of the parameters of the word, but something that if it's already here, he wants us to get it from what's already been written down. This is one of the blessings we have as living in this day and age, is we've got the word of God written down. I mean, they had the old covenant things and the prophets and all that written down and the Psalms and all those kind of things and Proverbs, they had that written down that they could say. But this is the blessing that it's already been written. Jesus was telling them, well, if you believe what Moses said, you'd believe me. If you were really believing what he said, but have you really read what he said? Because they weren't believing him. So this is what Jesus is telling us. If you won't believe what's already written, how are you going to believe if Jesus just says something to you? The written word of God is important. Now I want to just go through a few already writtens. These are already written down for us that we need to be aware of. Isaiah 55, we're going to go there first. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11. You know, in the beginning when I said that about all the description of what the word of God is how it embodies a conception or idea, the thoughts, the reasonings, the thinking, the teaching, the doctrine, all those kind of things, that's what the word of God is. That's what was in the beginning and that was manifested in Jesus. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11. God is speaking this through Isaiah, and it was written down for us to hear. Praise the Lord. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He's telling us, I have thoughts that you don't have, and you need to know what my thoughts are. I have stuff that's greater than you. For as the rain comes down, verse 10, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. This is telling us that the word of God is God's higher thoughts and ways. This is why we need the word of God, so we can know God's higher thoughts and ways. We can know what God's thinking. You know, sometimes we get into situations and it's like, we don't know what the answer is. We don't know what to do. Well, God's thoughts and ways have been put in this word so that we could know what the answer is. And the more we know of this word, the more we're going to have answers. And if we know this word, then the Holy Spirit can do his job. If we've been hearing it from reading and studying the Word, then when we come up in a situation and it's like, man, what do I do? All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will just float up a scripture out of your spirit into your mind that fits your situation of what you need. He can do His part. Let's turn to Psalms. Psalm 119. I have a couple scriptures in Psalm 119. The first one is verse 11. Psalm 119 is a big one. It has lots of good things in it. But the Word tells us, and Jesus said, you know, we need to hear these things. We need to believe these. Verse 11 of 119 says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." If you hide the Word of God in your heart, if you feed on this Word and you study it and you find out what it says and what the answers are to things, you can hide that and put that in your heart and it'll keep you from sinning. You find yourself in a situation where all of a sudden maybe you're being tempted and, oh, you just like to tell somebody off or punch our lights out, you know, or maybe take something that isn't yours. I mean, I hope that's not a temptation to anybody in here, but sometimes in circumstances, things can happen, you know, unfortunately. But said, if you hide the Word in your heart, it'll keep you from sinning against God. That's why it says in the New Testament, you've been given victory over sin. You don't have to sin. John says, I write these things to you so that you won't sin. You don't have to sin. And we think, well, how can you not? You're going to sin. Everybody's going to sin. But we don't have to. God holds out the reality that you don't have to sin. There is a way not to. And it's going to come by you putting the Word in here, by feeding on that Word, eating that bread from heaven, feeding on this Word of God. Now, go back to verse 105, a few pages farther back in Psalm 119. This is another good one for us. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." These, in some ways, it seems like that's saying the same thing, but a lamp to your feet is like if you have, let's say you have a flashlight, and you're walking in the dark, and you've got a flashlight. Well, when you shine it down like this, it becomes a lamp to your feet so you can make sure that when you take a step, you're not stepping in a hole or on a rock, you know, or banging into something. You know, you can, your feet know where to go, so it guides your steps. Each step at a time, that lamp guides your steps. But then it's also the light to your path. You flip that flashlight out, and then you can see the whole path, and you can know what's coming. You can see that, well, in a few feet, there's going to be a little bend in the path or something. So not only can you see each step that you have to take as you're walking in through your life and through situations and walking with the Lord, you can see each step that needs to come, but you can also see down the path of where you're going, that it's leading somewhere. Sometimes when God gives us a vision or a plan for our life or a particular goal, you can, the word that He's spoken is light. You know, what He speaks to us is still light, even if it isn't specifically here. You know, if it's a specific goal for your life in this day, in this age, something that He has for you, that's light. That light shines, and you can see clear down there at the end of what that is. It'll show you those things. For living faith, one, I've thought about this a lot. I've heard a lot of teaching in the past week or so. And back when God first put living faith in our heart, one of the things that to me was just so real is we are to be at least 1,000 member congregation. At least. And that is not unreasonable for a city this size. There's plenty of people around. We can have 1,000 and there'll still be plenty to fill up all the other churches. But that's a distant vision. But we've been using the light for step by step, but that light also still keeps shining down there, that's where we need to get to. And those of you that are cringing and don't want that to happen because you don't like a big church, you're going to have to get in the Word and change. You're going to have to change. You're not going to leave. You're going to change. Praise God, because that's where the Word of God is leading us. But it can be a lamp to our feet for individual daily steps, daily individual guidance, as well as the whole future of where you're going to set it up. Okay, Proverbs 4, another familiar set of scriptures here. It won't be too much longer. But this is establishing the importance of the Word of God. That we need the Word. We need to know the Word. We need to feed on the Word. Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 23, very familiar. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Now see, it's important that we hear the Word of God too. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Well, the Word, you got to read it off a page to get it in your eyes, or else you've got to see what the Word is already painted with its picture. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Build that into your heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Anybody need any health in your flesh? I'm sure we all do. Even if all you got's a little tiny bruise, you need health in your flesh. Praise God. The Word in the midst of our heart helps bring that forth, causes that life to flow. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. As we feed on the Word of God, as we meditate in it, as we study it, as we get acquainted with the Word, and we learn God's thoughts and what He thinks about things, what He thinks about, you know, behavior or your body or relationships or business practices or government. Our government's based out of the Scriptures. When our founding fathers put it together, they were getting it out of the Scriptures as to how things should be done to please God. All these things, we hide these things in our heart, then out of us can flow life. We can actually flow in the will of God, in the things that God wants in our life. But we got to be filled up with the Word of God. Because if we only have a few scriptures, praise God, those words are true. And for whatever you can see manifested from those things, that's great. But we need the whole counsel of the Word in us so that we can live in everything that God has for us. And He has a fabulous, wonderful life planned for everyone. All kinds of different things to do and experience and enjoy and people to affect. But it'll flow out of our heart when we've put the Word in there. We need the Word of God. Let's go back to the book of John. Chapter 17, just a few more things. We're almost finished. Well, John is in my Bible, I'm sure. John 17, verse 17. These are the words of Jesus, the Word of God. This is like a double word whammy here. The Word speaking the Word. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify. It means to set apart, to make holy, or to purify. It's set apart special. And we are sanctified and set apart by the Word of God. The Word of God comes from our spirit as we fill up our heart from it, and it purifies our soul and our body. It sanctifies us. It changes. It sets us apart. It makes us usable for the things of God. You know, I don't know whether people do it so much anymore, but when I was young, you had everyday dishes and good dishes. And your good dishes were sanctified. They were set apart for Thanksgiving and Christmas, or maybe, you know, certain special occasions at other times. But generally, they were just in the china cupboard all the time looking pretty, except for certain special things. Well, when we become sanctified, we become usable and set apart for special things, God's special things, things that God wants to accomplish through us. And we're set apart by the Word of God. The truth of the Word built into our hearts sets us apart and makes us special for God. Now, let's go to Romans 12 real quick, because this ties right in with it. This is all about sanctification from the Word of God. Familiar scriptures, Romans 12, 1 and 2. He says, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This renewing of our mind is the feeding on the Word. This is renewing our thoughts, our reasonings, our understandings, our ways to God's ways. You know, he said, my thoughts are higher than yours, my ways are high. So I've sent my Word. So he sent his Word for us to put it in our heart so that we can know his thoughts and his ways, how he thinks, his ideas, his purposes, his plans. That's what renewing the mind is all about. It's getting God's ways in there and the old world ways out so that we can have that in us. But what that does, the result of it, is the sanctification of it, the setting apart from that Word, then, is the proving or the manifesting of the perfect will of God. And it comes by the Word of God. That's why it's so important that we feed on the Word. It comes from that Word. What could be better than the perfect will of God manifested in your life? I mean, absolutely perfect. God and God's plans are good to bless us, for everything in our life to prosper and be blessed, to succeed. It's not just, it includes finances and things, but it's not just limited to that. It's that you would have a completely successful life. Your soul would be healthy. Your body would be healthy. Your finances would be healthy. Your relationships would be healthy. Husband and wife relationships. Parents and kids relationships. Employer and employee relationships. All the, neighbors to neighbors. All those kind of things. Healthy relationships. Everything would be healthy and flowing in the will of God. The perfect will of God. Just, I mean, isn't that like heaven? Where everything's just wonderful, there's no devil interference anywhere, that's the perfect will of God. And we can manifest that as we let the Word fill us up and fill our soul and change us. It's the importance of that Word. Go back to Romans chapter 10. One other quick thing I just want to share. Verse 17, Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We read this a lot of times, and this is a popular verse from Word of Faith. And basically, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That's just, we just run right through that. We grab the faith and we get over here to the Word of God so that we can have the faith to believe for whatever we want. Well, I think there's a whole message in this, and I haven't studied it out yet, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's the hearing in between the faith and the Word of God that we've got to do. Sometimes we just want to grab a scripture. You know, just grab it real quick and, ooh, manifest, manifest. heal, 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 bless, bless, you know, need be met. But it's the hearing in between. And as you put yourself in the Word, as you put the Word in your eyes, in your ears, in your mouth, in your heart, as you feed on this Word, as you feed on Jesus, feed on this Word, then you can hear. You can hear so much better when you've got the Word filled up in you. You can hear God without the Word. No, don't think that I'm saying you can't hear God without the Word. You can. That's how we got born again. We weren't full of the Word when we got born again. We just heard the message of the gospel in one form or another. So we heard God, but you can hear for faith to believe. Hearing becomes confidence. That's what faith is. Faith is confidence. And sometimes we are trying so hard to whip up some kind of faith, whip up some frenzy of, oh, I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. You know, we do that. But if we'll fill ourselves with the Word, then we can hear the Word. One of the most exciting things as a believer is when you have put the Word in your heart and meditated on it, and you're believing it. Don't eliminate believing the Word, but you're holding on to that Word, and all of a sudden, one day, the Lord just brings up that scripture, maybe that you're holding on to or one connected to it, and speaks something inside of you. And then it becomes, then you have heard. Now, oh, wow, God actually said this to me. It's no longer just, okay, these are the words of God. I know this is the Word of God. But all of a sudden, it's like Jesus just says it to you. And you know when Jesus says it, it's going to take place. And confidence just explodes. And you didn't have to work yourself into a frenzy. You just had to hear the Word of God. And if you will fill yourself up with the Word, hearing becomes so much easier. So much easier to hear the Word of God. So I want to encourage you today to get so personally acquainted with the Word. And remember, this is a written expression of Jesus, of who Jesus was, what he did, who he is, what he thinks, all this. This is like Jesus, only it's in written form. This is the Logos Word. Jesus was the Logos Word. They're one and the same. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. When we get so acquainted with this Word, with Jesus, that you know who said what, who they said it to, where they were standing when they said it, what city they were in, or what was going on. I mean, that's the kind of stuff, you know, what book it's in. And if we all have times where we think, you know, it's hard for me to remember the chapter and verse as to where it is. I remember where stuff is on the page. That's why I can never use an electronic Bible, because it's not real pages. You know, it just continues to go on and on. I know where stuff is. It's either on the top of the page or the bottom of the page or the middle of the column or on this side or that side. That's how I remember a lot of times. But if we will get so acquainted with this, we'll even know what chapter and verse it is. It'll become so real to us. We will become so full of the Word. We will know the Word. And it's not just about becoming a quiz kid and just knowing all the right answers. It's knowing the right answers. Not for show and tell, for living, for experiencing what God has for us. But I want to encourage you today to get acquainted with the Word. Get acquainted with the Word, because I don't know, maybe some of you are like this. If I'm listening to some preacher, I can even tell when he says, this is what the Bible says, and I'll quote what he's going to say because I've read that. That's not bragging. That's just becoming acquainted with the Word. One time, years ago, Gloria Copeland gave a challenge to read the four Gospels and Acts, or it could have just been the four Gospels, to read it through three times in 30 days. And you go, whoa, that is a lot of reading. Well, I took that challenge, and I did that, and I'll tell you, at the end of 30 days, and we talked about anything that Jesus did or said or anything, I could tell you what book it was in. I could tell you whether it was in Matthew or Luke or Mark, or I could tell you, well, Matthew said this about it, but John says this about it. I mean, once you get familiar, and that it can fade, you got to keep it up, you know, because it can fade. But I got so familiar, it's like, I know exactly where that, I just read that. When you've read it three times in a month, it's like, I know where to find that instead of, oh, I know the Bible says that somewhere. Where in the world is that verse? And then you go to your concordance in the back and it's not in there because these concordances are terrible. They never have the words that we need. You know, they're too basic. But you get so familiar with the Word, you get to know God. You know before sometimes what's going to be said because you're so familiar. You know what God's going to say because you know Him, because this is Him. All these things that are written down is Him. They're all written there. We want to get acquainted and familiar with the Word of God, that we know it, that we're so full of it. Because Hosea 3:6 tells us that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. There's a lot of Christian people that their lives get destroyed. They don't experience the perfect will of God in their life. They're not even on the way to the permissible will or the acceptable will yet. They're destroyed because they don't have knowledge. They haven't fed on the Word of God. Jesus said, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. That's true life. That's where you're going to get life. We have got to feed on this Word. So I want to encourage you today to feed on the Word of God. And it is the vital way to fellowship with Jesus Himself. A lot of times, you know, there's lots of different ways to fellowship with Jesus. But if you limit your fellowship to just what you say to Him and what you might hear Him back to you, you're limiting what can take place. Feed on this Word. Jesus said, you got to believe what's written, or else how else are you going to believe what I say to you if you won't believe what I've already said and it's been written down? He told us that in the Scriptures. So it's our spiritual food and drink. It's necessary for a strong spirit. It's necessary for faith. So I want to encourage you today. Maybe you're someone that you've really never read. Maybe you've never even read through the Bible once. You know, we have these charts at the back where you can read the Scriptures and read the whole thing. And it's more than just a challenge, but you might find some things in there that you never knew were there. You might come across a Scripture and say, oh, Gordon uses that all the time. That's where that is. You might discover things. But, you know, feed on the Word of God. If you're already feeding, keep it up. Just keep feeding. But I want to encourage you, feed on the Word of God. If you will feed, your life will get better. Your walk with the Lord will get better. Your faith will get better. Your confidence will get better. Situations will change. You'll have more peace of mind. You'll know answers. You'll be able to be a better witness, because it'll ooze out of you, because out of our heart come the issues of life, and you can start issuing life to the people around you. Amen? Okay, you encouraged in that today? Okay, let's stand. Praise you, Jesus. We're going to feed on God's Word, because it's Jesus. It's fellowshipping with Jesus when you feed on the Word. Think of it that way. Don't think of it as a chore that, oh, I have to study the Word. No, it's getting acquainted with Jesus. And when you know Jesus, you can know anything. you can do anything that he would have you do. You can succeed in every area of life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your precious word. Jesus, we thank you that you are this word written down in the scriptures. You told us that even Moses was writing about you when he was writing scriptures. So Jesus, we thank you that we have you in written form. We thank you that you came to the earth and manifested in human form, just like one of us. And we thank you that you were the perfect sacrifice for our sin. And now you want to come and live on the inside of us, that we can live just like you, that we can have this one-on-one fellowship with you and live just like you. We can experience heaven on earth in this life as well as heaven in heaven in the next life to come. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your life. We thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you do for us, all that you help us with, all that you bless us with. You're a wonderful Savior and a good God, and we praise you and we thank you today for your word living in us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.